Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The following is a Hoop Bowl presentation.
What's up, everybody? I'm Najee Adams.
And I'm Hunter Jacobs.
And you're listening to the Hoop Bowl Nets podcast. We are back with another episode. It's been a good little while since the two of us recorded together, but I think the last one was a solo from Hunter. The other one was a solo from me. I can just say myself, I don't know if Hunter feels the same way. The solos suck. Like, it just, I don't know how.
It doesn't flow as well. Like, there's times where I'll pause and it would, like, in the duo episodes, I'd pause and Najee would say something. In these, I pause and it's just nothing. Silence.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I know some people do solo podcasts, and like, I do a solo podcast. Shout out to the plug, the Run It Up podcast. Go check that out. I do a solo podcast, and it's just not the same. Like, when you're used to having a duo on a podcast, like, it just doesn't flow the same. So I'm glad we both got back on here and ready to talk about the Nets. We have a good little amount to talk about today. We want to talk about the All-Star games this upcoming Sunday. Obviously, the Nets have three All-Stars selected. Only two will be playing since KD is dealing with an injury right now. So it's best to keep him out of the All-Star game anyway so he can play when it matters. We're going to talk about the emergence of Bruce Brown. Talk about Harden being the first Net to win Player of the Month since 2007. And then we want to talk about whether or not he is, kind of segue that into whether or not he's the most important piece on the Nets right now, and then end things off with a quick discussion about whether or not we believe Nick Claxton should be starting over DeAndre Jordan or just be getting more minutes than DeAndre Jordan come the second half of the season. We just want to say thank you guys for listening to this episode of the Hoopball Nets podcast. Before we get into things, obviously, we got to give a huge shout out to our guys over at MyBookie. Ever since me and Hunter started this podcast, people have been asking us for betting tips. We always literally get asked, who you got, Lakers or Clippers, Nets, Bucks, Rodgers or Mahomes? And I'll tell you what I tell them, where you bet is just as important as who you're betting on. That's why we tell people to bet with MyBookie. Their rep is rock solid. They've got the best odds, contests, and promotions in the business. They're the only place I trust to handle my NBA-related bets. And you know us. You know that we don't give out our stamp of approval easily. To earn it, you've got to be the best at what you do. And MyBookie is easily the best sportsbook out there, period. It's simple. Sign up, enter promo code HOOPBALL, that's H-O-O-P-B-A-L-L, and get your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000 cash. Head over to MyBookie if you want to add an extra little bit of excitement to the sports you love and the games you bet. Bet with the best. Bet with MyBookie. So yeah, we want to start things out today with the All-Star festivities because, like I said, it is coming up on Sunday. So Hunter and I thought, what better way to talk about the All-Star game than to do our own little All-Star draft right here? So we have the rosters up. Hunter is going to pick for Mr. Kevin Durant himself, and I'm going to pick for Mr. LeBron James. So the way we're going to do it is, since LeBron was the leading vote getter, we're honestly not too sure on what the actual format will be because KD has to pick five, so he might end up going first. But since I'm LeBron and LeBron's the leading vote getter, I'm just going to go and pick first. What I personally said is that he should pick Kyrie first just to be like a – just to be a prick so that KD can't have his teammate. But I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go Steph as my number one pick. So LeBron and Steph, who you got, Hunter?
All right. So with the second pick in the draft, I personally believe that KD will pick Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Yeah, I feel like he has. It kind of sucks for Giannis.
He's probably the most fun All-Star game player out of the starters aside from Steph and Kyrie.
Yeah, it sucks for Giannis because two straight years you're the person drafting, and then KD comes back and you're just like, yeah, get him up out of here. So yeah, Giannis, he deserves to be KD's first pick. So is it back to me now?
Yes, it is.
So we got Steph and Braun. I'm gonna have to go Nikola Jokic. Steph, Braun, and Jokic. That's crazy. That's game. Who you that got next?
You think. You're going Jokic. I am going to go with Luka Doncic.
That was a good one. Yeah, you're lucky you got him because
KD and Giannis right now.
Got KD, boy. You got Luka and Giannis. Yes.
I have KD in theory, okay?
back to me. So we got Steph. We got basically the 1, the 3, and the 5 built out. We need a 2 and a 4. What better 2 to get than the NBA's leading scorer, Bradley Beal? Bring Bradley Beal on to Team LeBron.
I love that you picked him. Thanks. no brainer. The next pick's gotta be Kawhi Leonard. So I now have Luka, Kawhi, and Giannis.
If you hear me typing in the background, it's just me trying to make sure we don't repeat any picks. So excuse me if you hear the typing. I have
Luka, Kawhi, and Giannis. Now finish your draft and leave me the last two.
So who's left? So we got Jason Tatum,
and Kyrie. Leave me two.
I don't want to run to Kyrie and Beal.
And you don't want to run Embiid and Jokic either. So
I got it. Nah. I'm lying. Low key. I'm going to take Joel Embiid. Boom. Joel Embiid. Simple.
Oh. All right.
Let me say my team.
No, now I finish and then we say it. I got the last two picks and I go Kyrie and Tatum. That's what I wanted anyway. So I'm running my lineup. Kyrie at the 1, Doncic at the 2, Kawhi at the 3, Tatum at the 4, and big boy Giannis at the 5.
Okay, and so my lineup is, well, my team is LeBron, Steph, Jokic, Beal, and Embiid. My lineup is Steph, Beal, Braun, Embiid, Jokic, or Jokic and Embiid. Really interchangeable. We got a nice 5-out offense.
All I know is whoever Jokic is on, it's clipped.
I feel like not a single player on your team is better than a single player on my team.
That is just wrong.
Okay, so LeBron's better than Giannis. Steph's better than Luka. Jokic is better than Kawhi. Beal's better than Kyrie.
You said not a single player on my team is better than a single player on yours. As if I don't have Kawhi and Giannis. Take your Embiid.
Listen, Embiid's MVP almost, so I mean, hey.
No, he's not.
Okay,
he's top 5, but he's not MVP.
So now we pick reserves, right? And Anthony Davis isn't a part of that because he's injured. So
yeah, and I get first pick, and I pick James Harden. Now I have one of the best players in the league as my first reserve off the bench. Thanks.
Okay, you picked Harden. I'm gonna have to go. I feel like this is a no brainer. I'm going Damian Lillard.
Ooh,
Dame time.
So scared.
Okay.
Now, because I have Harden and Kyrie, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's KD's team. I also have Tatum. And to match Tatum, I'm going to take Brown.
Okay, so you take Jaylen Brown. I match your Jaylen Brown with a Ben Simmons because I know LeBron is going to take him.
He's whack, so. Nice. Now, with the next pick, being that I need a center, who's better than the best one defensively in the league in Rudy Gobert? Ooh,
boring.
Rudy Gobert dominates the All-Star game. Yeah, what is wrong with
you? Can't wait. Yeah, when no defense is played, you're going to pick a defensive center. Nice.
Yeah, he is going to block them
My turn. Thank you for being an idiot. I'm going to go ahead and pick up Mr. Paul George.
Whack.
Okay, your turn.
Now, being that I picked Gobert, who better to take than his teammate, Donovan Mitchell?
Okay, okay. That was a good one. He was probably going to be my next pick, but I want to have
Just to cap, I have Harden, Jaylen Brown, Rudy Gobert, and Donovan Mitchell as my first four reserves, correct?
Yeah, more, that's cool. That's fun. Ha ha ha. All good and well. I'm going to go ahead and I want to have fun on my All-Star team. Team LeBron is all about incredible, making moments for the league, for the people to see. So I'm going to go ahead and take the human highlight reel, Zion Williamson.
Zach LaVine. I match your highlight and give you the best dunk contest dunker of all time.
Okay, so then you go Zion. I mean, I go Zion. You go Zach LaVine. So who we got left? We got Vucevic, Randall, Sabonis, and D-Book.
Yes, sir.
Considering I took two bigs to begin with, I got to go Devin Booker. I'm sorry. My son about to show out. Devin Booker. The highest scoring player since Kobe dropped 81. Devin Booker.
That's nice. Congratulations.
Yeah, good luck with CP3.
That is not who I'm taking. Who said I was taking him? I believe I'm going to take former Laker great Julius Randle.
And then I'm going to take CP3, actually, to be honest. Get those Suns some more chemistry before playoff time. Plus, LeBron and CP3 are best friends, so.
And then I will take sniper Nikola Vucevic, 40% from three at center, and leave you with the injury replacement and the most boring player in the entirety of the draft. Shouldn't have even made the game. Should have gone to Bam, if we're being honest. But here he is, or Middleton, but here he is. Announce the pick.
DeMontis, the I don't even have a nickname for him. What is his nickname? He's got to have a nickname on Basketball Reference. Hold on.
Those don't count. They have Nick Claxton as the Slim Reaper. Like, that's not KD.
No. DeMontis Sabonis.
You got him as Domas.
No. His nickname is... Oh, yeah. His nickname is Domas, so... So yeah, my last pick, DeMontis Sabonis.
So, a full recap of my team, start to finish. Kyrie at the 1, Doncic at the 2, Kawhi at the 3, Tatum at the 4, Giannis at the 5, right? Now my bench, I got James Harden, Zach LaVine, Donovan Mitchell, Jaylen Brown, Nikola Vucevic, Rudy Gobert, and I believe that's it. Did I say Julius Randle? And Julius Randle.
Bro, I'm going to be honest with you, bro. Your team is trash.
Nah. Once Harden comes in, it's over.
Let me show you what a good All-Star team looks like. LeBron, I'm not even going lineups. I'm just going players. LeBron, Steph, Nikola Jokic, Bradley Beal, Joel Embiid, Dame Time, Damian Lillard, Ben Simmons, Paul George, PG-13, Zion Williamson.
That's not what he was calling him in the playoffs. Say his name.
Hey. He's trash in the playoffs. We all know that.
Say his name.
Zion Williamson, D-Book, Devin Booker, Chris Paul, a.k.a. CP3, and then we rounded out with DeMontis Sabonis. And so... Just so you guys know how the All-Star game is going to work this year, it's basically the same format as last season. So it's the first three quarters begin at a score of 0-0 and they last 12 minutes. The winner of each 12-minute quarter, so the first, second, and third, will be the team that scores the most points in that quarter, just like every other quarter. And then at the start of the fourth, the game clock gets turned completely off and a final target score will be set. And then once that score is set, the teams play an untimed first quarter until one team reaches it. So, for example, last year, Team Giannis scored 41, 51, and 41, so they ended the first three quarters with 133. Team LeBron scored 53, 30, and 41, and they ended the three quarters with a cumulative score of 124. And then the target score is whatever the highest scoring team has, plus 24, in honor of Kobe. So the target score was set at 157. And then that last fourth quarter, so Team Giannis needed to score 24, and Team LeBron needed to score 33. And yeah, Team LeBron ended up winning. It was like an Anthony Davis final free throw that won them the game. And yeah, if that, since that's going by the same format, I think that my team would outscore your team literally all four quarters. So not much to talk about there.
All I know is you lucky LaMelo Ball's not in this game or your team would have been done.
Why?
LaMelo Ball's.
Why should I fear LaMelo Ball?
Oh, you will. One day you will.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
When it be drafting coaches, I got Quinn Snyder. I want no part of Doc Rivers.
I'll take Doc Rivers.
Yeah, go ahead.
If we're talking about how our Nets are going to play in this All-Star game. So like we said, we have one Net starting in Kyrie. Basically, honestly, two Nets starting, but
KD. How about you let me do the prediction since I was able to draft them?
Like, go ahead. Sure. Do your thing. Do your thing, buddy.
Like the real supporter. I believe Kyrie Irving will score 19 points in the All-Star game. On, I will say, 8 of 12 shooting with 6 assists. So 19 and 6 assists on 8 of 12 shooting. And Harden will have 17 and 9 assists on 6 of 9 shooting.
And where are you pulling those numbers from?
Well, it's my team, so I'm thinking rotation-wise how I'm going to play them.
Okay. If I had to guess, I'm saying Kyrie goes absolutely nuts. Drops a 30 bomb in honor of our fallen soldier, Kevin Durant. And I say Harden drops a cool triple-double, like 22, 10, and 15. Like, I can very well see him getting 20 assists. You know
what game this is?
The All-Star game, duh.
People drop triple-doubles like that.
Bro, Harden is a triple-double machine.
Yes, people don't just do that in the All-Star game.
Well, he is. He is, how about? James Harden will.
Sure. He's on my team. That's why I drafted him, right?
James Harden's going to drop a triple-double. The Nets are low-key might dominate All-Star. I don't even want to say All-Star weekend. All-Star night. All-Star
game. Now, call it now. Who gets All-Star game MVP?
Who gets All-Star game MVP? Steph Curry.
That's a good one, but I don't believe that is accurate. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that. See, I'm trying to think who's not going to get a lot of minutes compared to who will. I think LeBron's going to get it.
Do you actually think that, though?
Yeah, he just plays so many minutes. He's going to play in the fourth quarter the whole time based on how the format is. See, if I had to pick based on everyone playing equal minutes, I'd give it to Zach LaVine off the dome. I think he's going to put on a show for the minutes he's there. But I don't think he's going to play enough in this format to possibly get it. So yeah. I'd say between Harden and LeBron, those are my two picks. But I think LeBron's going to get it.
No, if I had to pick, I'm going to go Steph. I just feel like he's going to make some sick plays, pull from half probably. If him and Dame aren't on the same team, I can see, like, I remember before the season they were talking about, like, yo, if you pull from half, I'll pull from half. If him and Dame don't get drafted to the same team, I can honestly see them having a half-court shootout contest in the middle of the game, and that would be sick. So I'm going to say Steph just because I feel like he'll make some super highlight plays. He'll get the fan vote, and obviously people love Steph Curry. So I feel like him and LeBron are like the two chalk picks. Like, I feel like KD would have been one had he been in the game. If not Steph, I say Harden, just because I really do think he's gonna drop a triple double. And so yeah, Steph, Harden, LeBron are our all-star MVP picks. And so, yeah, we want to get into more Nets news now, like the emergence of Bruce Brown. But before we do, we have to give a huge shout-out to our guys over at Manscaped. St. Paddy's Day is for pubs, not pubes. Manscaped is the global leader for below-the-waist grooming, and they sponsored this show, the Hoopball Nets podcast, to ensure you have the best tools for your ball-trimming experience. If you plan on getting lucky this St. Paddy's Day, then you might as well use code HOOPBALL20 at manscaped.com for 20% off and free international shipping. You are in luck because the Manscaped Performance Package is the ultimate men's hygiene bundle. Included in this new package is the Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, which is completely waterproof and uses a 9,000 RPM motor powered 360 degree rotary dual blade system. That is a mouthful. Look, guys, 79% of partners polled admitted that long nose hair is a major turnoff. So why not use the best tools for the job here? This bundle includes the Lawnmower 3.0 trimmer, which is the best trimmer on the market for your balls, butt, and body. Their third generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents. Thanks to their advanced skin safe technology, you'll feel confident shaving your thunder down under. You can also get festive and safely have a shamrock in your pubes. You and your partner will get lucky, all right? Their Lawnmower 3.0 will showcase your pot of gold like no other. Let's not forget about their famous liquid formulations, the Crop Preserver, which is a ball deodorant, and Crop Reviver, which is a ball toner. And if you get the perfect package right now, you receive two free gifts, which are the Manscaped Boxers and the Shed Travel Bag. The Performance Package is the best value that Manscaped has to offer, and it's hot off the shelves. Get 20% off and free shipping with code SHOWBOUND at manscaped.com. That is SHOWBOUND at manscaped.com. Also, every purchase at manscaped.com goes towards contributions made to the Testicular Cancer Society to bring awareness to testicular cancer, men's health, and early cancer detection. So, yeah, make sure you guys go support those guys over at Manscaped because they support us and every other show on the Hoopball Podcast Network. So, yeah, Bruce Brown, the man has been an absolute demon lately. He has literally played every position that the Nets have asked him to play in the absence of KD. He has stepped up big time. I feel like Jeff Green was that guy that was stepping up early in the season. And once he got injured and went down, he's now back, thankfully. But Bruce Brown really took a step forward and filled some really big shoes. So we're super proud of him. He's been playing really well lately. Hunter, what are your thoughts on Bruce Brown?
Well, he is seeing, over his last six games, just under 30 minutes a game. So he's finally getting the rotation respect we wanted. Part of that's probably due to KD's injury. But, I mean, he was playing regardless, pretty solid minutes. And I think now with the tear he's went on, he's locked himself in as one of the first men off the bench when the team's at full strength. If not starting, but it depends on the lineup they'll have. But he's mostly going to be one of the first people off the bench. But he's been the third highest scorer on their team over the last 2 weeks. He's scored more than Joe Harris. Not that Harris has been bad, averaging 14 on 50% shooting over the last 2 weeks. But Brown is averaging 16.7 points and 5.3 rebounds on 67.2% shooting. Only person who shoots better than him is DeAndre Jordan, obviously, on a majority dunks and half the shot attempts. So he's been very impressive. He also is leading the team in steals per game in that span. And fantasy-wise, he's been a top 50 player, so now he's put himself on the map in fantasy. Overall, he's the player that Nets fans knew he was early in the season when everyone was calling for him to get more minutes, and he's proving why they wanted that.
No, I remember we were talking to Billy Reinhart, Nets Daily, SB Nation, all that good stuff. And we were talking about how we want Bruce Brown to get more minutes because we feel like he can be a major part of this team and play a large part, not only on the offensive end, which he has been doing, averaging 16.7 points in the last six games, but also on the defensive end. He's just been a monster overall. The man can literally, he's like 6'9", has a large like wingspan, a long wingspan, good, nice frame. He can guard positions 1 to 5. He does it all, really, for the Nets. And that's the type of guys that we're going to need on this team. We have the star power. We have the talent. We need guys that are going to be able to get in the trenches and do the dirty work. And Bruce Brown is that. He has been that for the entire season. And it's incredible that now Steve Nash and the Nets coaching staff is giving him the opportunity to put that on full display. So we are super proud of Bruce Brown and super ecstatic to see what he can do the rest of the season. Segueing into that, James Harden has been absolutely incredible, especially with Kyrie kind of being in and out of the lineup, KD being out of the lineup for a while now. Harden has been that mainstay in the Nets lineup. He's averaging like, he has like the most minutes played in the NBA, averaging the most minutes in the NBA. He has been extremely incredible for the Nets ever since they acquired him. And he's the first Net to win Player of the Month since 2007. It is now 2021. So what is that, 14 years?
Yes, and honestly, it's nice to see that they're doing exactly what I called on the episode. The first episode we recorded after they acquired Harden, I immediately said that I was watching him, and it looked like he wanted to do more playmaking rather than taking the shots, and that he should have the ball in his hands. And I'm really happy that they went that route and made him the point guard, because Kyrie can play point guard, yes, but I do believe Harden's vision and playmaking abilities are better, and that Kyrie is better off the ball than Harden is off the ball. So I think they're the best version of their offense is when Kyrie can get his shots off the ball and Harden's getting him those looks.
No, I agree. I think Harden was used to having a like the full load and full point guard capabilities and like responsibilities, I mean, on the Rockets, and he's kind of segued that into his role on the Nets. I also feel like he's more willing to take the backseat if necessary, and which Kyrie, not even a shot at Kyrie, he just wants to get buckets, which is perfectly fine. Like, and I just think Harden is a more gifted passer than Kyrie, like just naturally. So him running the point, I think, puts the Nets in the best position to succeed. Like I said, first player of the month in almost a decade and a half for the Nets. Before him, it was Vince Carter in April of 2007, then Vince Carter again in December in 2005, then Vince Carter again in February of 2005. Before that, Kenyon Martin, February 2004, and then Jason Kidd won it in November of 2001 and November of 2002. But before 2021, no Net had won since 2007. So shout out to James Harden bringing a little bit of hardware back to Brooklyn. But since we're talking about Harden, do you think he is the most important piece for the Nets right now as currently constructed?
I would say yes. Well, I think ranking the big three's importance is like Harden 1A, KD 1B, Kyrie 2. And that's not even me trying to take a shot at Kyrie. I just do believe that Harden and KD are the superior players and more important, being that Harden's their primary ball handler and point guard now, and better on the defensive end than Kyrie as well. And then KD is the best player on the team. That's clear. But his main priority is to score the ball and play defense. He's the best defender out of the three. But Harden out makes the Nets what they were early in the season, which is a great East team that looks like they can be defeated. Harden in there, removing any one of the other two, I still have the Nets as the favorite. Specifically, if Harden and KD are the two playing, I still don't see any team that can match up with them. But even if it's Kyrie and Harden, their team has enough scoring capability to keep up with any team in the league. So I do see Harden as the most important piece.
For me, I think obviously, Harden has led the Nets to a 9-4 record in February, which was the best in the East in that time. The Nets are 5-1 with the big three playing together. He's been absolutely lights out. Since the Nets got him, he's had 19 double-doubles, 7 triple-doubles, already second most recorded by any player in Nets history. The man hasn't even been here for 3 months. Since his Nets debut on January 16th, Harden ranks first in the league in assists, triple-doubles, and double-doubles, and Brooklyn has the second-best record in the league at 16-7 at that time frame. He's just been absolutely incredible this year, and I feel like he is their most important piece right now. Obviously, this is not to debate whether or not he's the best player on the Nets. Me and Hunter both very much so agree that title goes to Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant is the second best player in the NBA. Some believe he's the best player in the NBA. Regardless, one of the top three players on the planet. But when it comes to importance, Harden's ability to stay in the lineup while these other two have been in and out of it, and KD and Kyrie, has gone a long way for me in believing that he's their most important piece. Durability is a large part of being able to win championships. As we've seen with multiple championship teams, injury can derail a championship team quicker than anything else. And so Harden's ability to stay on the court and keep these Nets winning games and keep them as top-tier contenders in the East to get that seeding position has gone a long way towards me believing he is their most important piece. Obviously, the point guard is usually the most important piece for a team, and he also does play point guard, getting other teammates involved. He's like, his ability to get Bruce Brown involved has like been a large part in why Bruce Brown has kind of broken out. He gets Joe Harris super easy open shots, probably some of the easiest shots he's gotten his entire career, just because Harden draws so much attention in an offense. He's offensive efficiency in one player. The man is one of the most efficient players in NBA history when it comes to the offensive end. And this is what we were saying when the Nets acquired him. Like, you're as soon as you get Harden, you're locking in a top three, top two, top offense in the league. And that alone can't be discounted. So yeah, I'm going to go out and say that Harden is the Nets' most important piece. The man has just been lights out lately. And without him, had he gotten injured and all of the Nets' big three were down, things would be looking scary for the Nets. But Harden has proved to be kind of the knight in shining armor for this Nets team. And I don't think anyone... I know a long time ago, when they first acquired Harden, everyone was thinking that the Nets gave up too much. I haven't really heard that lately. It's been nothing but sunshine and rainbows from Nets fans. So Harden, in my opinion, is definitely the most important piece right now. That can change 100%. But as for right now, time of recording this, me and Hunter both think Harden is their most important piece.
One other question I have for you now, going to the opposite end of the Nets roster. I'm going to name off 7 players, and I want you to tell me if you think any one of them will see a playoff minute based on what you've seen from them over the past 2 weeks. First is TLC.
Okay, so you want me to just say yes or no?
Yes.
Let me see. TLC, whether they'll earn a playoff minute? I think he'll get minutes in the playoffs.
So you say yes for TLC, yes. Even though he's been absolutely dreadful as of late.
I think he will. I think he'll still get minutes in the playoffs.
Tyler Johnson.
Will he see a minute in all of the Nets playoff throughout all their playoff games?
Then blowouts. Will he play in any game that is meaningful? Blowouts don't count.
Yes, I think so.
Andre Roberson.
No.
Iman Shumpert.
I don't think he'll be on the team in the next week and a half.
Landry Shamet.
Yes, just because, like, you can't trade for him and then not use him. Like, he's still a pretty good shooter. What is he shooting from three this season? Let me see. Like, that's his biggest pull when we're talking about Landry Shamet.
His shooting has improved over the last 2 weeks, so that is a plus.
On the season, he's shooting 35% from three, which would be a career low. But, I mean, he's also attempting a career low in 3-pointers. So, you know, it just comes and goes with him. But I think he'll see minutes just because of the amount of tension he will. Like, you're not going to leave him open. Regardless of whether or not he's been off this season, you're still not going to leave Landry Shamet open.
These last two should have the same answer, so I'm going to say both of them. Chris Chioza and Tyler Cook.
I don't think Tyler Cook sees any minutes, and I don't think Chris Chioza. I think Tyler Johnson would see the minutes over Chris Chioza, so yeah.
Neither one of them.
Bonus. Nick Claxton without the Nets acquiring a center is clearly a yes, but if the Nets get Andre Drummond, does Nick Claxton see minutes?
I don't think so. I think if the Nets get Drummond, he would obviously be their primary center. And then I think he would. I think Nick Claxton would see minutes, and he would split with DeAndre Jordan, like, straight down the middle, honestly. But what about, since we're talking about that, do you think, like, DeMarcus Cousins would be a fit for the Nets? Because I keep seeing people say that DeMarcus Cousins and the Nets are, like, in talks or anything like that. The Lakers did not want anything to do with DeMarcus Cousins. I know he was rumored to be wanting to go there. Do you think the Nets would be a good fit for Boogie?
Personally, this is not the DeMarcus Cousins that was dominating the league. Now, looking back to when he was on the Warriors, yes, he played with KD. Yes, he has championship experience. But I remember sitting in Buffalo Wild Wings watching the NBA Finals, seeing DeMarcus Cousins airball a layup, front rim another layup, hit the backboard only on another layup. That's the player he is now. He settles for three-pointers rather than attacking, and he's not an efficient shooter, and he's not an elite finisher. And his athleticism overall is not the same. I don't believe he should start anywhere. Now, if the Nets get him, him and DeAndre Jordan are on an equal playing field of bad. So Claxton should still, in my opinion, which is our next question, start over both of them if they get DeMarcus Cousins. So my answer then
is I feel like no. That's a hot take.
I don't think he should be anywhere, if we're being honest. On rosters, yeah. On benches, yeah. Starting, no. Not anywhere.
I feel like that's a hot take.
I believe maybe he can start on the Pistons. That's about it.
I think it's tough when it comes to DeMarcus, when it comes to Boogie, just looking at his stats this season, like he had some moments this year where you thought, damn, is that the old Boogie? Like he showed some glimpses, but and he wanted to in the end get off the Rockets because he felt like he wasn't getting enough playing time.
And because the Rockets said themselves they wanted to be young in the front court, which meant all focus on Christian Wood, which means PJ Tucker is probably on the way out soon too.
100%. But the fact that Boogie wanted out because he wanted more playing time still kind of speaks to what where his head's at in terms of his role on the team.
He's pulling the Melo right now.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if he still thinks that he should be playing 27 minutes plus per game, then no, I don't want him on the Nets. But if he's okay, and maybe that was just because the Rockets were trash, so he felt like, we're already trash, why not play me more? Maybe he'll be willing to take a lessened role on a championship caliber team. But if he still...
The problem I have is that his efficiency is literally at a career low for him. He's shooting 37% from the field, yeah, and 33 from three, which is not awful. It's manageable. But the fact that he's only shooting 42% on all his two-point attempts is a problem.
I mean, I agree. I just think that, say Andre Drummond doesn't get bought out, and the Nets could be playing this waiting game, waiting to see who gets bought out. If the buyout market isn't as juicy as we're thinking, I think the Nets could very well take a shot on Boogie. I think they need to have a very serious conversation with him before they sign him and let him know what kind of role he'll be playing. Like, at this point, I would rather see Nick Claxton. I think he would go like split minutes with Nick Claxton, DeAndre Jordan. He's not going to be their primary center. He's not going to play an outrageous amount of minutes. And as long as he knows that and he's okay with that, I'm okay with taking a chance on Boogie. But if he's going to come in and want...
Taking him on the roster is fine. But I'm telling you, there's no point in starting him at all because he's just going to take shots away from the stars.
I mean, I agree. I just think that the Nets obviously need big man help. And so if Boogie is willing to take that lessened role, I think he's worth the shot. And that kind of leads us into kind of where we want to end things today. Nick Claxton versus DeAndre Jordan. Going into the second half of the season, and our next episode is going to be basically looking at the Nets' second half of the season and seeing what games we're excited for, what games we think could be tough ones, what games we should run away with, and basically just evaluating the second half of the season. But before we get into that next episode, in the second half of the season, who do you think should be playing more minutes? Do you think the Nets and Steve Nash and the coaching staff should lean more towards Nick Claxton and kind of let him rip, let him free, or kind of stay what we're doing now and kind of have DeAndre Jordan leading the timeshare?
Well, I already made it clear in my Boogie statement what I was going to say. I think Claxton is easily not a question, the better option over DeAndre Jordan. I don't really think that it should be a discussion. In his four games this season, in just 15 minutes a game, coming back, he's averaging 8.5 points, 2.3 boards. Yeah, the boards will go up with the minutes. 1.3 steals and 1.8 blocks on 62% shooting. So his defensive ability is obviously higher. His athletic ability is higher. If he can work on his rebounding, then it's a done deal for sure. Now, I guess experience is the only thing you could lean towards Jordan for. But if you give Claxton that second half of the season to work with those guys in the starting lineup, by the time playoffs come, I think he'll be ready. And I do believe he's taken a huge jump from the first year to this year already. And having all those stars around him will make his job a lot easier. So I definitely think Claxton should have the job.
I mean, I'm not going to play devil's advocate. I 100% agree with you, bro. I think Nick Claxton has shown me personally a lot in these last couple of games, in these last like week and a half, 2 weeks. I think he's just a more versatile player than DeAndre Jordan. He's younger, got fresher legs, and kind of what defenses kind of know what to expect when DeAndre Jordan is out there. Like, you know what he's going to give you. A lob. He's a lob threat. He gets a board, can block a shot every now and then. But for the most part, he's operating in the paint. Teams, defenses know what DeAndre Jordan is giving you. At least with Nick Claxton, he's a little bit of a wild card. The scouting report still out on him. We don't know. He has not anywhere close to reached his potential. And I kind of feel like this is what we were saying about Jared Allen a while ago, like back a year and a half ago or 2 years ago, when he was kind of still a wild card. And we see what Jared Allen has turned into. He's balling for the Cavs right now. And I think we should give Nick Claxton that leeway, that freedom, that ability to show us what he's got. If he can't handle it, if he proves to be not a bust, but like if he proves to crack under the pressure this year, then we throw DeAndre Jordan back in there. Who cares? But for now, entering the second half of the season, I think Steve Nash and the rest of the coaching staff should kind of pivot towards giving Nick Claxton, not running him to the ground, but giving him the edge in the timeshare when it comes to DeAndre Jordan and Nick Claxton.
Yeah, I mean, I do believe the minute split regardless is going to be maybe like 27-21,
exactly.
26-22 is not going to be a huge difference, but I do think Claxton should play the bigger share of the minutes.
I 100% agree, and we would love to know what you guys think as well. So tweet us at HoopBallNets. You can tweet me at Najee_ Hunter is at Hunter_JKR. So yeah, let us know what you guys think. And yeah, we're going to get up out of here. We hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Make sure you leave a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts, because all reviews will get read on the pod. Just shout it out to Twitter, but we'll do it again. Make sure you follow the Run It Up pod for me when it comes to my podcast. If you want to check out me talking to a lot of cool people. If you guys have heard of NBA Top Shot, me and Hunter were just talking about it off the episode for a while. I'm going to have Andy8052 on the pod next week. He spent like $71,000 on a LeBron dunk. So if you guys want to hear about Top Shot, check out my podcast, the Run It Up Podcast. Subscribe to the Hoopball Nets podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Hoopball Nets. Like I just said, I'm at Najee_ on Twitter. Hunter is at Hunter_JKR. And before we get out of here, let me give you your letter, bro. It is... Ooh, I want to say Y, but I can't even think of a Y name. So I'm going to say F.
F. Facundo Campazzo, man, front rim to three and a 4-on-1 fast break down in this game. No, they're not.
And mine's is Frank Ntilikina. And with that, we'll talk to you guys next episode. Later.
This has been a HoopBall presentation.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.